5. And he said this, both to motivate them to pray for others and to help them always express gratitude to God for whatever happens to others, indicating that he also greatly desires this. For those who are mindful enough to do both these for others will set an even stronger example of doing the same for themselves. In addition to this, he teaches them humility and guides them to have more passionate love. For if he, who was so much higher than them, admits that he has been saved by their prayers, and that his salvation was a gift from God due to their prayers, imagine the humility and disposition they should have had. And notice, I ask you, that even if God does something out of kindness, prayer greatly contributes to it. At first he attributed his rescue to God's compassion. He says, "The God of mercy himself saved us," but here he also gives credit to their prayers. Because the one who was in debt of 10,000 talents was shown compassion by God after he fell at his feet, even though it's written, "Moved with compassion, he freed him." And again, to the woman of Canaan, it was after her persistent begging that he finally healed her daughter, even though he healed her out of mercy. From this, we learn that even though we are to receive mercy, we must first make ourselves deserving of it. For even though there's mercy, it searches for those who are worthy. It won't be granted indiscriminately to all, especially to those who show no remorse. For he says, "I will show mercy on whom I show mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion." Notice at least what he says here, "you also helping together by prayer." He hasn't assigned the entire good work to them, to avoid making them conceited, nor has he completely deprived them of any part in it, in order to encourage them, inspire their enthusiasm, and unify them. Hence, he said, "He also granted you my safety." Because often God is swayed by a multitude praying in unison. Hence he also said to the prophet, "Should I not spare this city where more than 120,000 people live?" But lest you think he only respects the masses, he says, "Even though the number of Israelites is as numerous as the sand by the sea, only a remnant will be saved." So how did he save the Ninevites? Because in their case, there was not only a multitude, but also virtue. Every one of them turned from their evil way. Moreover, when he saved them, he said that they didn't discern between their right hand and their left hand, making it apparent that they had previously sinned more out of ignorance than wickedness. It's apparent also from their conversion upon hearing just a few words. But if there being 120,000 was enough in itself to save them, what had previously stopped them from being saved? And why doesn't he say to the prophet, "Shouldn't I spare this city which is so penitent?" Instead, he mentions the vast population. This is also presented as supporting the argument. The prophet knew they had repented, but was unaware of their numbers or their simplicity. So in every possible way, he is trying to soften them. For greatness in numbers does have influence when combined with virtue. Indeed, the scripture makes this clear elsewhere as well, where it says, "But prayer was being made fervently by the church to God for him. Such was its strength that the apostle was led forth and delivered from all his chains and guards, even though the doors were bolted and the guards were sleeping on either side. But just as the power of large numbers coupled with virtue is mighty, when pollution is present, it yields nothing. For the Israelites, whom he says were as numerous as the sand by the sea, all perished, as did the countless people during the time of Noah. Such mass means nothing on its own, but only as an added factor."